What is the agenda for the week ahead? We're going to talk about it with Molly Ball, staff writer covering politics for The Atlantic, and Kirsten Grind, reporter for The Wall Street Journal, who's right here in the studio. Kirsten and Molly, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
So it seems to me, for both of you to start, that the question of Mitt Romney's resume and the tactics of the campaign are really the big political story as we head into this week. Molly Ball, the question of whether Mitt Romney was running Bain Capital or not, how sustainable is this issue, do you think?
I think that's what we're going to see over the week ahead. We have seen the Romney campaign trying desperately to change the subject and, frankly, being unable to do so. He did a bunch of television interviews at the end of last week, but yet still on, you know, all the Sunday shows yesterday. And despite that, all the chatter has continued to be about this issue and about his tax returns. And so we've seen the Romney campaign sort of complaining a lot about the fact that we're not really having the discussion they want to be having, which is a discussion about the economy and jobs, which, of course, is everybody's top issue in the polls. That's what voters want to hear about. Nonetheless, the Obama campaign has been extremely skillful and successful in making this instead about things like this confusion over Romney's resume.
Is this a tactic to get out the base in the early going and to deny Romney people who might be on the fence at this point by discrediting him, and it's going to just totally go away by the time we get to the convention?
I think this is something that they are hoping will resonate more than with just sort of Democratic partisans. It certainly is an attempt to discredit Romney, and that's because despite the fact that he's now running for president for the second time and is the nominee and has, you know, been through a long and brutal primary, he's still not particularly well known. People don't feel like they really know who he is, certainly to the extent they know who the president is. And so the Obama campaign has an opportunity to fill in the gaps and really define him for all voters, independent voters, even potentially Republican voters who didn't really pay attention to the primary, and certainly Democratic voters as well, although I have a feeling their minds are made up.
Molly Ball, staff writer covering politics for The Atlantic, reminding us a bit of common ground for Mitt Romney and Barack Obama. They are both running for president for the second time, although as an incumbent, Obama seems to have the advantage, at least in at this point in the campaign. Kirsten Grind, reporter for The Wall Street Journal. Does the LIBOR scandal, which again, more headlines this morning, does that stay parallel to the political sphere, or is it really an element that isn't really going to bleed into domestic politics, even though there is talk of liability all of a sudden on the LIBOR?
The LIBOR scandal is a very big deal, and it's one that we're going to be seeing headlines about for weeks to come. It absolutely will bleed into the political sphere at some point. You're seeing lots of new investigations being launched by various regulatory entities. At first, it seemed very contained to Barclays. They paid a settlement last month, but now we're seeing all banks possibly being affected.
You know, I saw a piece in the Huffington Post talking about Timothy Geithner and the Treasury Department, and that their apparent oversight at the New York Fed of what was going on with the LIBOR looked a lot like they simply were taking the memos that were coming from the British banks and sort of churning them out as like, sounds good to us. How do you interpret that sort of thing?
Right. Well, right now the question on everyone's mind is who knew what when. So it appeared that certain regulatory bodies knew much earlier that some banks were affecting the LIBOR rate, right? And so that's really going to be the question, I think, in coming weeks. And also, you know, consumers should really be paying attention to this as well, because LIBOR is what really affects mortgages and student loans and everything like that.
And, well, we'll talk about student loans and the politics of that in just a moment with Molly Ball. But Bernanke addresses the House and Senate this week. You said questions over the coming weeks. Bernanke's going to get questions this week.
I'm sure he will get questions this week on this. And whether what he ends up doing is remains to be seen. You know, there's differing opinions on what he'll do. He said he's going to keep interest rates low short term. So we'll see what happens.
Does the Fed rate take its cue from the LIBOR, or is it fundamentally separate?
It's a complicated sort of equation, but yeah, I mean, basically all of these are interconnected.
Interesting. Molly Ball, if the LIBOR affects student loan rates, and we've seen the politics of student loan rates in Congress over the last couple of weeks, where are the bleed points for this latest financial scandal into the political realm?
You know, this is something that we have heard very little about on the campaign trail so far. But if it does manage to bleed in, you can see opportunities for both sides, I think, a little bit. I think on the one hand, for Republicans, this is something that they can try to associate with this administration as they continue to paint this administration as, you know, not fully being sort of in control. And so any of these points where, you know, Geithner gets dragged in or American banks get dragged in, present an opportunity for that. On the other hand, I think Democrats really appreciate any opportunity they have to campaign against Wall Street. And so to the extent there are, you know, sort of greedy banks that can be caricatured and remind people of how angry they were, you know, back at the height of the financial scandal and see this as yet another episode of sort of banks cheating, I think that's a messaging point that the Democrats would probably be able to see.
Two quick points on politics, Molly. Are we seeing from Obama's perspective where the swing states are in his travel schedule? And is this the week that Mitt Romney names Condi Rice as his running mate?
The answers are yes and no. The longer version is I was with Obama in Virginia over the weekend, and then he will be in Ohio today. Those have certainly been considered the two central swing states. But he seems to be doing a little bit better in Virginia than he is in Ohio. I think you have some demographic and some economic advantages for Obama in Virginia, which is a state that has a low unemployment rate and that is getting younger and more diverse, whereas in Ohio you have a population that is getting older and whiter and losing population, and an unemployment rate that remains relatively high, even though it's certainly getting better trend-wise. As for VP, we don't know when it's going to happen, but I tend to doubt that the little Condi mini-bubble of last week had a lot of truth behind it. I wouldn't be surprised if he named someone before the convention to give him a few weeks of chatter and interest. I do that a little bit early, but my sources are telling me that Condi is still probably a long shot.
Molly Ball, staff writer covering politics for The Atlantic, and thanks to Kirsten Grind, reporter for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks so much.
Thanks.
Thank you.
There's your agenda.